I heard they were in the lifestyle. Isn't that like swingers? He said it was nothing like I could imagine. She said she loved it. So what is the lifestyle then?
Hey guys, this is Sue on the air, and you are now tuned into the sixth episode that we have. We are your sexy swinging lifestyle hosts. My name is Tara Rose.
And I am James.
And this week we wanted to do our topic about achieving a healthy balance between your swinging lifestyle and your vanilla life. The two topics that we wanted to discuss were about how we balanced out our lives personally. And we also were able to get a guest interview with Lady and Andrew.
Andy, I like to call him.
Andy. We met them a few months back, and we've gotten to know them pretty well. They are pretty seasoned when it comes to lifestyle. Not happily, meaning they're old, but just meaning they have lots of experience.
Happily married for quite a long time. We go into that in the interview as well. They also have two dogs, just like us. No kids, which is great. We admire their ability to have so many lifestyle friends, as well as other great relationships with their vanilla friends and as well as their family.
And to remind you guys before we start the show, we like to put a show out every 2 weeks for your enjoyment, and you also can find us on pretty much all of the social media outlets out there, which seem to be growing actually in popularity quite recently.
Tinder, it's been good. Instagram,
Tinder?
It's been good.
Tinder, we're not on Tinder.
We're not on Tinder.
Actually, no, we're not. That was like, actually, I've never been on Tinder.
That might be another topic for later.
Anyways, so yeah, you can find us on all the social media. And also discretion stuff that we got to say is it's about sex. So we try to promote 18 and over, no minors kind of thing. I don't know. Okay, so smoke show. Smoke show, we got chocolate chunk.
Delicious.
It's really good. It's a pure indica strain. There's tons of reviews I found on this when I did my research about it. So, apparently this strain is best for pain. Like, a lot of people who get their medical marijuana license, this is something that they seek out. It's very good with creating the kind of couch potato feel.
Love being couch potato some days, like our Saturdays.
Oh, our Saturday. We went out Friday, so we smoked this all Saturday. I haven't had a bed day in so long. It was so refreshing to do. Flavors of this are, it is very sweet. That's why it gets the name chocolate chunk. Earthy, again, pungent, strong smell. I love it. And we smoked it again through the volcano.
Volcano came back, but
Okay, so first topic is, when we discuss balance, what exactly do we mean by it, and how do we achieve that in our lives? James?
So balance to us is balancing our vanilla life as well as our swinging lifestyle. It comes from balance between how open you are with some of your vanilla friends. Also comes with balance on how open you are with your family. And then again, it kind of comes down to certain events when you're inviting lifestyle-friendly people as well as non-lifestyles, like a birthday party, stuff like that, where you might invite family.
Or kids.
Or, yes, also barbecues where kids are involved and you can bring your whole family. There's also stuff
camping
like that.
Camping trip. To me, a huge thing, balance comes from the values that you have as an individual, I think. The priorities that you have in your life. What kind of things are important to you? From those important values then stems how you create balance. Because not everybody is going to be balanced in the same sense. I mean, we don't have kids, and this is something we touch on in the interviews. We don't have kids, so for us, we're able to commit a little bit more of our lives towards the lifestyle. Whereas a lot of our friends who do have kids, they have to really consider the things that they want to spend or do with their kids.
Babysitters,
do you want to be giving up a weekend to do activities with your lifestyle friends? It's a discussion that you guys just kind of have to have together, and it can't really be us saying this is how balance should be. We're just going to kind of explain that it is important in the lifestyle, and it's something that you need to be aware about.
It takes a lot to balance actually both lifestyles. We've come to figure out that it does take quite a bit of, especially when you're taking vacations.
Yes, definitely.
Like our hedonism trip, it was tough to who we told we were actually going to Hedo and who we told we were going to Sandals. So it kind of comes from a lot of different things. We also like to tie it back into our rules and our boundaries,
which stem from values. I mean, it all kind of just comes down to being aware of who you are, and they can change. Your balance can change. You know, I mean, we definitely didn't do as many lifestyle events when we first were in a relationship together compared to now. You know, things change. So, how do we balance our lives? Things for us that we like to do are decompression days, which are the day after like a big play night. We like to
just bring have it all a day back together,
even if it's not like the whole day. Just, you know, have the morning together, cook breakfast, have some coffee, like,
and maybe reminiscing is always fun.
Watch some TV together, like, just kind of lounge. It's kind of nice. I like that.
Reminiscing about the night before, obviously.
Reminiscing, for sure.
Is always fun, because, again, it kind of gets you back into that, remember when you did this, and remember when you did this?
And to us, that achieves balance.
Yes, we can balance ourselves back into our relationship, where
balances our relationship with lifestyle.
Absolutely.
And then another thing is constant communication, which, I mean, is pretty obvious for reasons.
We preach it all the time, so always talk about everything. Again, that's kind of like when you achieve balance is when we say our decompression days. We also talk about some things we liked, some things we didn't like, throughout the whole night, right? Like it's a whole sort of encompasses a whole day, because we also have like our lead up time to, let's say, a night out with
getting ready together.
Lifestyle people get ready together. She always likes to get ready for the mirror. I like to watch her as she's naked. It's always
Oh yeah, I love to get ready naked. It's the best part.
Always playing music and dancing. That's always fun. But that comes with, you know, we also like to plan. So a big thing about that, like going into that, would be say that we also have a schedule that we keep. We have a calendar with lifestyle friendly events and
everything is
and
on
vanilla
it.
Events, but so
like
that
from
we don't
sport commitments to birthdays to family dinners to a swinger party, we put everything in it so that we can kind of see every month kind of what's going on and where we should,
and so we should
where
know,
we have time,
like,
where we don't have time.
So we should never overlap anything. So like again, like we like to have our decompression days. So if we have something one night, we try not to have anything until later.
Too busy the next day.
Too busy.
But
the next
sometimes
day,
so. I mean things like don't work out, but as long as it's, you know, here and there, we still get our time together.
But there are also tons of couples that also have to deal with kids and family members on the next day. We know around Easter time, we know people had to go set out Easter eggs that morning.
Yeah.
So
to
this
us,
is
that
just
wasn't
for
a big,
us.
A
but
big deal. So we didn't have any kids the next day.
No.
And we were like, you know, we can stay out, party.
Yeah, and then some people realized it was 5 a.m. and they're like, oh my, we have to go set up Easter eggs for an Easter egg hunt. So, again, planning out all your days. We have a calendar that keeps track of mostly everything that we have going on. Actually, it's pretty much everything.
Everything. And then, like, another way that we try to balance our lives is because we don't have kids, we're able to talk to a lot of our friends about what we do and what we're planning on doing, and if we're ducking out early, why we're doing that. So it gives us more flexibility. And, like, even I have a sister, and she knows, and she has no judgment at all. So it makes it easier to just have, like, you know, I don't have to lie to her.
Exactly.
Swingers are the biggest liars sometimes.
Well,
our friends, actually, they posted this thing, and it said, swingers are the biggest liars. Ever ask a swinger what they did after the weekend? And it's like, yeah, pretty much.
But at the same time, that we're also flexible, that a lot of our vanilla friends, we're So our balance between our vanilla friends, who know, which is pretty much all of them,
yeah,
in some way or another know about our lifestyle.
Know that we're a little
haven't
bit.
Asked us directly about, no. like, details or anything. Some of my guy friends know enough.
We just say we're going to a sexy party, usually.
Yeah.
And that sums it up nicely. Nobody really asks anything.
We don't have that many people asking questions. No. But again, it's not. We're not here to try to convince people to do it if you're up and willing to do it.
If you have questions, we're willing to answer, but that's about it.
Absolutely.
And that's what we say. Actually, that's what Andy said. He was like, you know, if you have the balls to ask, then we'll have the balls to tell you. So, and it's true. We won't preach it, but we'll definitely tell you that we like it and that we have plans.
Very open about it.
Most of the time.
Non-family members, we're not very open. With family members, we're not very open with on my side. Obviously, my mother doesn't know.
For that, we also have like our backup vanilla story. And that's a great way to achieve balance is make sure you just have a... You know, how do you meet these people?
Dinner party.
Oh, we had a dinner party. Yeah. Had some wine, went in the hot tub. It's pretty easy to cover it up. But we just make sure we discuss it before, like,
get the backstory straight.
So that we just say the same thing and it doesn't turn awkward and we don't feel awkward in front of the family. Basically, that's kind of how we do the balance right now.
Yeah.
And I guess our next topic is going to be the interview, so we'll... it in now, and hopefully you guys enjoy it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We now have our interview, and we have Andrew and Lady. Welcome, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Awesome. How are you?
Oh, you know, we can't complain. Can't complain at all. We're just going to start off with who you guys are as people. Andrew, I hope I can call you Andy.
Yes, of course.
Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect. So who are you guys? And just give us a little bit about yourselves.
We've been married for 2 years.
Okay.
We've been together for 10.
Solid.
Together for 10 years. So does that mean that you guys have been in the lifestyle for the entire 10 years?
Five of the 10.
Half of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There was a moment where it all just kind of...
Came together?
All made sense, yeah.
Which we actually just kind of came into realization that we talked about this, but so there was this moment where you guys realized, and obviously you guys can go into detail about this, but you guys realized that the lifestyle was for you.
So there was a moment where Andrew asked me if I could choose between a threesome, between two guys or two girls, and which was better. And I said, two guys, without thinking, and realized that he did not know the story that I had the experience with two men, and it had evolved into the story and conversation of my sexuality and where I had been and potentially where we could go. I am bisexual, but enjoyed two men at one point,
yeah.
And it was an amazing experience, and it had piqued the conversation beyond our regular monogamous relationship to figure out where we might potentially go.
So it kind of just like stemmed from communication.
Absolutely.
Which is something that we preach a lot on our podcast, is that most of the swinging lifestyle is built upon communicating with each other, talking about your fantasies, making sure that everyone is comfortable with the levels that you're at with each other.
It's paramount.
All of it. Absolutely, yes. All of it.
So it just started, yeah, with talking.
Absolutely.
About what you desired.
Basically, yeah. It was having
having
the balls to ask the question, I guess.
And give the honest answer and continue the conversation. I mean, I remember the moment specifically, and we were literally in the car on the road, and I feel like all of our conversations are, we commute together, they were all in the car on the road. You know, and it's just that time you have alone together to spend,
yes,
to hash, yeah, out the details of the experience or the situation or your feelings or whatever, and that... is where it started.
And
so just talking.
Blossomed from
I
there.
Love that. I
Absolutely.
Love that. That's exactly what the lifestyle is, though.
And so,
I think
what is the role that, I guess, the swinging lifestyle has played in your guys' relationship? Like, has it progressed? Has it stayed the same? Where have you guys taken it from?
In the last 5 years.
Last 5 years, but also from the last 10 years, the first 5 years, how was that sort of
the first 5 years?
The
first 5 years of our relationship was like any other typical one. It went through the honeymoon phase. There was even the lull that happened for us, and you know, it kind of came back full circle, and it basically was something that was a topic that we talked about a lot, and then.
What do you mean, full circle?
Like, you know, when you're in the honeymoon phase,
yeah,
and then you're together for like 2, maybe 3 years, and
yeah,
complacency sets in, you're in your jobs, you're doing whatever.
You get into the routine.
Right. You don't have sex.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a dead bedroom situation or anything, but it was just like, it was always there, but it wasn't necessarily something that needed to be like taken all the time, right?
Have attention towards.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It kind of got, I wouldn't say tossed to the wayside, but it was
not a priority.
It wasn't a priority. That's a great way to say it, right?
Okay.
And it wasn't like we were doing anything, so it was really weird that it just wasn't a priority. And then we just
started talking about it,
and then I asked her like the question about the threesomes, and she said that, you know, one was better than the other, and it just sparked a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't even know about her for like the first 5 years.
Wow.
So,
okay.
And you guys talking,
right?
You guys communicating,
okay, you know, and like for me, I guess it was like the traditional sense of whatever a relationship was before I met her, right?
Yes.
Like there was all like the boyfriend and, you know, this is my girlfriend, and my parents wouldn't let me sleep in the same room as my girlfriend whenever we stayed at the house.
Yeah.
So it was always like
conservative,
very,
very conservative view of
very, it has to be done this way. It has to be, you know, like you have to respect it and everything. And, you know, like it was just one of those weird situations that it was so overpowering that it changed me, I guess, for who I was. 'Cause before I met Lady, it wasn't necessarily something that I took a lot of pride in, I guess. It was just like, I'm gonna go.
That's what you have to do.
Right.
That's the way you have
to be.
Right?
Like, I have to treat a lady right. Like, there's all sorts of things that I was pretty much,
you can't,
I guess,
look at another woman.
Right.
You can't express interest in another
repressed.
Woman to her.
I was repressed. I would look at porn, but I would never, ever let anybody know that. Or
right.
I'd never let anybody.
Or the type of porn.
Yeah.
You know? I also expressed my bisexuality through that conversation,
mm-hmm.
and it
obviously
intrigued him, but I don't think he understood at the time what it meant. And post that conversation, one of our first experiences led to playing with another woman, and as one of our first experiences in a hotel with a beautiful woman, it was one of those very mind-blowing experiential situations where we were able to realize that we were able to enter the situation without emotion, tell the woman that was our intention,
mm-hmm.
and then walk away stronger in our relationship with this shared experience that was
absolutely
wonderful and amazing,
yeah.
and there were only more steps to be taken from that. So
yes.
that was a very, very exciting situation for us to enter into.
That's amazing. So you guys have been in the lifestyle for 5 years.
Yes.
In that 5 years, obviously, have you visited any sex clubs, lifestyle clubs, private parties, any sort of those sort of things?
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, the funny thing is, we're not a fan of online profiles.
Right.
We've
mm-hmm.
been fortunate enough that we've met an amazing group of people in our city and haven't needed to, you know, surface the online dating situation. We have great connections. We have a great community. We've met a lot of our couple
Which
friends.
Did you meet these people, like, right away?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so
it was
one of
pretty
our
instantaneous. And how did you meet them?
Okay.
A club experience.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So,
a club.
So
right.
after we
not
did,
online.
After we chatted forever about situations, it was time to actually go see what it was like.
Okay,
was about,
so turn the fantasy into an experience.
Well, it was like there has
that
to
was
be
the goal.
There has to be a place in the city or wherever you're at that can accommodate.
And Andrew actually researched without my knowledge and brought to my attention that there were clubs in the city, and I was shocked. I had no idea. He said, I found a place where there are like-minded people and we should go for New Year's.
Check it out.
And it was literally
New Year's, really?
It was literally the New Year's. It was literally the New Year's party situation.
Okay.
And we met the most beautiful couple, and they were young, good looking, our age, introduced us to a ton of people. We got to watch them play. We didn't actually play that night, but we got to meet a ton of amazing people. We were asked a ton of questions. Everyone was open and forward. How long have you been in lifestyle? What's your, you know, what's your orientation? What's your situation? And really got to experience what the interrogation process was. And interrogation sounds like a harsh word, but it's really the introduction
getting
process.
To know who you are as a person.
And we were, and I personally was able to identify with those things. Who am I? What do I want? Where do I want to go with this?
Isn't
where
it
am
amazing?
I very amazing. Yeah.
It is.
And the best part about those type of people is that once you get in those situations, there's such open people with the communication that they have.
They want to know so much about you.
They want to know about you. They want to know what you're about.
Yeah.
And we always say this in almost every podcast, that once you get into those situations, it is absolutely essential that you talk about the things, because again, you have to go through experiences to find out what you like and what you don't like. But then when you get into those experiences, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to ask you a ton of questions because of the open communication that everybody has
at
in this
the
lifestyle.
Club, especially.
And it's just great to get into those sort of like relationships with those people, because again, that becomes brutal honesty. And then we also like to go into the fact that like our topic of this podcast is how to balance your two lifestyles, as we like to call them, your vanilla lifestyle.
Because you guys have been doing this for, what,
5 years.
5 years.
And so how do you, in a sense, we're going to talk about, like, you know, how you guys balance it, but at the same time, what it does it require to have balance between your vanilla lifestyle and your swinging lifestyle?
I actually don't think that we're balancing it well.
We don't do a very good job of balancing it.
And I'm gonna preface this by saying we don't have children.
Okay.
So I feel like our friends who do have children have a need to compartmentalize. And so when they leave the house and the babysitter with their secret bag and their nice outfit and they're going somewhere, we don't have that. So we are very open. We are sexually open beings. We're very open with our friends, and
we have one rule. If you have the balls to ask us, we'll have the balls to tell you.
You'll tell you what's up.
If you're
that comes with that honest communication.
There have been people that, you know, maybe what do you call it? Leaving breadcrumbs.
Breadcrumbs.
You know, just little tiny pathways for you to open your eyes and just like get your own information and figure it out. But there's some people that like totally know, and they're like, okay, you know, and we've told them, and just how shy some of them are, and how brash some of them are. They're just like, so, you know, and then there's some people that are like, well, you know.
Andrew, do you find mostly guys are the brash ones? Because they're starting to, they don't understand how you could be in love with somebody at the same time as
it's right down the middle.
I want to say something. There's a quip that I've come up with, and it's like, there's a difference between knowing and understanding.
Yes.
So if you know that I'm in the lifestyle, and you know that I give my husband a hall pass, or you know that I'm interested in other men, that doesn't equate to you understanding that we're swingers, or lifestyle, or that
what
I'm bisexual.
Or how the relationship
Absolutely.
Is actually possible
you,
to be a functioning thing.
Yes.
Like, some people are just like, what?
Yeah.
So
if you ask me a question, and I know your personality, or I know our relationship, I will say, I will answer you honestly if you're prepared for the answer. And I know honestly if people are or aren't, and I will divulge information based on those situations. And it's sometimes wrong, it's sometimes right. But again, I'm falling back on the fact that we don't have children. We don't have that extraneous community of people that may or may not judge or perceive or any of that. And,
yeah,
you know,
this, I get that.
The segue to that is that, you know, for the people that know or understand, so the people that understand have open sexuality, we typically are attracted to them and try to take them down.
Well, and then it also creates more friendships. Like you said, like we talked about also before, is that you guys have become more friends with people in the lifestyle than necessarily out of the lifestyle in the last 5 years, because it's people that you can relate to, people you can have conversations with about things that excite you, things that you want to
really I feel like when you can put your guard down and be who you are as a person and share who you are as a person. I mean, you can't do that with some people. You can't say I like to eat other girls out and stand beside them at a concert and hug them and they feel uncomfortable.
Just because
of that fact that you might have enjoyed that, maybe not with them.
So knowing and understanding. So understanding would be like, I understand that you're bisexual. I understand that you're attracted to other women. And it's for my vanilla friends.
Yeah.
I understand if they're attracted to me. I know that they understand that. And it's if I want to, you know, give myself to you or give my husband to you, then that allows me to give my lifestyle to you.
Yeah.
And there's been this interesting sort of transition where we've shared this with people who understand, and I'm going to call them sexually open friends, vanilla, but sexually open. They're going to try and invite themselves back to the party after we go home.
Yeah.
They're
going
to try and ask the poignant and pointed questions.
Because they're interested.
Because they want to know, because they understand they're interested.
Exactly.
And you know what? Like
like
Andrew said, we're not
absolutely
going to hide anything. If you're going to ask me a pointed question, I'm going to make sure you're prepared for the answer.
Yes.
And it's going to lead to an amazing experience, usually.
Or conversation.
Absolutely.
Or conversation.
Yes.
And it's going to open, open some people's minds up, right? Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
So, obviously, we kind of went through some of the troubles you guys encountered. Quick question. How open are you with family members?
We're not.
No.
Neither are we.
No. And that's fine. No, we only ask just to get other listeners to understand that, like,
there's...
You don't have to be. It's your life.
There's been moments where, like...
My siblings.
Right.
I've told my sister and my brother. Like, they know. They do.
See, I don't know if they'd even be able to handle it, but there have been moments where, like...
But they don't even know what the whole thing encompasses.
Right.
Honestly, like, they kind of know what goes on, but that's all.
But yeah, and
there's nothing more
knowing
general
to them.
I would think
that they would know what it is. They and it's funny because they have a little cottage in the like lake country or whatever, and every time we go there, I get this vibe from their friends, right? And I'm just like,
you just wonder.
And I'm just like, is this like a complete circle that's happening like somewhere else, which is totally feasible.
Okay, honestly though, like fetishes, kinky things, it's hereditary.
That's a scientific fact. When I was in when we were in hedonism, I saw
my
mother and my father's name 3 times.
Everywhere. On all the boards that people write on.
All over the boards, all over, you know, it was... So, you know, when it comes around to it,
that comes from, maybe not hereditary, but it comes from, like, the openness of a family.
True, yeah.
And how to raise your children in an open
family. I was raised in, like,
family.
A naked home.
Can I tell a story?
There you go.
Absolutely.
So, I was having a conversation with my mother in my very kitchen in my own home, and I was explaining to her that I had started burlesque. And it, burlesque to me is the vanilla expression of my personality and my sexuality. So mm-hmm. burlesque, by definition, is stripping without showing. So you hide your nipples, you hide your privates, but you dance to strip. It's a tease. So it's a pre-sex tease. So this is the, again, vanilla expression of who I am. So I get to invite anyone I want. So I said to my mom, and I got to explain to her, this is what I'm into, this is what I'm trying. And she gave me this look, and she said, well, that's a bit risque, isn't it? And I looked at her and said, 30 years, and you don't know who I am. Mm-hmm. Because she raised me to be the open, sexual being that I am. She raised me to understand that all people are beautiful, women are beautiful, and I'm in love with women, and that's,
but not her daughter.
And but it's a social, it's a societal disconnect mm-hmm. in mentality, and that's just my opinion. But that was my direct experience with, and that's a very small snippet of what I've shared with my family about. And I expect or accept no judgment. Andrew's family's very much more conservative than Blue's. It's not
really?
A. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
if
it's not.
If you said something like that?
No,
really?
It's not. I mean.
Well, now, maybe not. But back when I was, like, still living there and everything was very, like, you know.
By the book.
Gotta go to church and everything that happened. But now, Mom has actually become quite cool. But I'm sure that. If this topic would happen, she would get up and just leave the room.
Yeah. There's a point of liberalism that's uncomfortable for a conservative mentality.
Absolutely.
I mean, the sleeping together under the same roof without being married was a borderline for us. I think we were almost engaged or had been together 5 years before we had been able to sleep in the same room under their roof, and that was a
no wonder people report me on Instagram.
That was a very, like, that was a very,
seriously,
like,
seriously, though,
a
like,
very,
literally.
But side-eye, don't want to talk about it kind of thing. It was, it's strange to me.
It is, yes.
So the balance plays a big part, obviously, in your guys' relationship between your vanilla lifestyle and your swinging lifestyle. As well, we kind of wanted to get into the rules and boundaries that you guys have, obviously, that are set usually as rules or as concrete as they can be, and boundaries can be situational, and they may be an experience that you have to experience. But do you find that balance plays a role in your rules and boundaries as well? Sort of like, do you guys have rules for after play, for...
Before
play, do you guys have, like, kind of, like, a little ritual?
For example, us, like, the day after, we like to have what we call decompression days. Sometimes it doesn't happen just because of previous obligations.
Scheduling. Stuff. But we like to kind
But we like to have, like, the day after to bring us back together. And, like, just, like,
it's
reconnection day.
Like, really
you know, you guys are Game of Thrones fans. Rather, we watch, like, Game of Thrones for the day. Or we, like, just, like, go for a walk or go throw the baseball for a bit. Like, we just have, like, a little bit of time afterwards from play.
But that's also
to reconnect.
How we balance our vanilla lifestyle with our swinging lifestyle.
Yeah.
So, you know, also knowing that your rules and boundaries are ever-changing, do they play a part in your rules and boundaries, or are your rules and boundaries kind of completely separate from that?
I don't know. We're together all the time. So we always have those decompression moments where it's like, I'm going to leave the room now. Or, you know, so for us, it's usually, it's a late night, so we sleep in, we wake up, we eat breakfast, and usually by then it's just, we're going to chat about what happened.
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
morning.
Or...
It's a morning thing, I think, for us.
Or
yeah.
and like usually, if it's like if something good happened, we're gonna talk about it all the time, anyways,
mm-hmm.
right? But if it's a bad thing, we usually tend to take a little more time with it because you don't know how you're gonna feel.
Exactly,
you know, maybe 3 days goes by, and
but do you guys like set that time out distinctly to talk about it, or is
no,
it just kind
of
come as it goes?
It just kind of happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we. I think
we'll talk about anything like over making dinner or in the car or
whenever it kind of comes.
Well, obviously
out.
That's how you guys kind of got into the lifestyle.
Yeah,
just talking in the car.
I feel
right? So
I feel like Andrew touched on something like the first interaction of our lifestyle and the realization was literally in our commute, and we've only ever shared one vehicle. So I think commuting or in the car or together, somewhere where you're enclosed and
alone. I said this before. This is a scientific fact. Women communicate with men better when they sit beside them, when they're not looking at them directly. So in the car and shower is the number one and number two ways that women will communicate
with
their men.
Amazing, yeah. And I will resonate with that 100%. I think
because you're not staring them in the eye. It's equal.
So he mentioned a few things where he'll be sitting at the bistro and I'll be cooking breakfast or whatever, and we'll just have these conversations. I don't think we make eye contact or have that interaction, but it's a very, like, this is what I need to talk about, and this is
it's
how
growth.
I'm feeling, or this is where...
Mm-hmm. It's
and
growth.
It's always, always, always conversation, situational, circumstantial, but yeah, the more poignant stuff definitely happens probably 24 to 48 hours later. I feel like my emotions come up later after the encounter. The first 24 hours, you're still kind of in that elation or euphoria, and
Subspace.
You enjoy.
Well, you're talking about,
or you're just
like
exhausted.
Between the two of you, do you remember when you did this? Do you remember when
you're
you
doing
did
the
this?
Fist pumps and you're nudging,
high fiving all over the place?
Yeah, you're excited.
Sure. A good time. Yeah,
but then
exactly.
You know, a couple days later, and we're really good on chat online, actually, or texting, and it's very much like, I'm feeling this way about this, and it's
so
a very
it's better writing
immediately,
sometimes.
Absolutely, but immediately
that's
addressed,
great.
When there's
immediately dealt with.
Text is great because sometimes you're missing the emotion, and it's not.
And sometimes you just need to get out
context
right.
You
what
write
you
it the
need
right
to
way.
Say.
Right, yeah. And it, you're reading
wow.
it, and it's basically like a blanket statement. You're like,
yeah.
Oh,
I feel this
okay.
way about this.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Rather than
Yeah.
getting on the defensive, or now I gotta go on the offense.
Going
right?
emotional right
so,
away.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just like
yeah.
the rational part. This yeah. is the question that was asked, yes or no. You're going to answer the question, yes or no.
You know, and something that's really important to me that I always like to tell everybody is jealousy is real.
Mm-hmm.
Jealousy is an absolutely real emotion. It's ugly. It's disgusting. It feels terrible, and when you're in the lifestyle and you want to feel amazing and fun and sexual afterwards, I like to say, I enjoyed that moment, but it made me feel jealous, and I'll tell you that it actually helps me pass through that emotion and join into my relationship in a beautiful, succinct way where, you know, Andy can say to me, but I love you, and it was great for me, but you're the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
Or whatever
absolutely.
It is that we, as women, need you, as men, to say to us, they say, and we feel, okay.
Yes.
The jealousy has passed. We love each other.
But we need to communicate that.
Absolutely.
Return
but
the relationship back to where it
express,
to
yes. express the jealousy. It's ugly and feels shitty, but express it.
And see, the thing is, like, for what I like to say is I like to use jealousy for a good thing. Like, I was kind of jealous in you in that situation because I wish I was in yours.
Exactly.
In your shoes. But the obviously
exactly.
the other way around. But
no,
at the same
I hear
time,
you.
But that is returning the relationship kind of back to where its roots started, where you are, where you need to be.
Yeah.
And then so we kind of want to finish it off by, if you guys have any advice for any sort of newbie lifestylers or any people that are trying to having a hard time finding that balance between their vanilla life and
mm-hmm.
their swinging lifestyle. You guys kind of have a basis about being honest with your friends, but if you have any other advice to other people, please express it now.
We've inducted more than a few of our friends. We
are. We fuck a lot of our friends.
We're really open.
We've done the same, so it's okay.
We're really, we're really open. We're really honest. You know, you use your instincts. I mean, like I said, if someone asks you a question and you know that they are prepared for the answer, then odds are, if you're attracted to them, they're prepared for you to come on to them, or they're prepared for a potential invitation to participation. But just be very aware of the circumstances. Be very clear. One of the first things I learned about open relationships is what you say is, leave emotion at the door. This is for fun. This is the man I am with. This is the woman I am with. We are together. Nothing that happens between us will affect it, but we want to have fun. If you're prepared for that, then
tomorrow morning we wake up and love again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then we're okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, so as long as you're honest about emotions and communication, then it's completely fair game. It's a very, very fun and exciting lifestyle. But be very cautious, because when your gut tells you that someone might not be prepared, odds are they aren't. So just, you know, put the block up, leave them at the bar, and come home with your fun friends.
But also at the same time, don't take any adverse reaction to that, like negative way on the lifestyle
exactly.
that you are currently living.
And you know, be discreet. Yeah. You know, I personally have a hard time with that. I'm an oversharer.
Me too.
But that's a, yeah. But that's a very, you know, like.
That's why I have a blog.
And that's, I had a girlfriend approach me and say, if I were to come back to your house, what would happen? And I froze. And I knew, she's vanilla. How do I answer this? And I said,
but how did she expect you to answer?
You will sleep on the couch and not do anything.
I don't.
But what
I,
was she looking for with
yeah,
that answer?
That
see,
was it.
Listen, all know. Of the questions are going on in my head.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know how to answer. And so I said
but
to
that's
her.
That's not your responsibility.
I said to her, I said, we're going to play sexy games, and we're going to play strip dice, we're going to play strip poker, and then
yeah.
we're going to have some fun. And she said immediately, I'm not comfortable with that. And I thought to myself, okay, there's the decision.
Yeah.
So you have to remember there's a drunk vanilla friend and a sober vanilla friend.
Yes.
And you have to understand that everyone gets a little frisky after a couple of drinks. So just be aware of the person and personality
absolutely.
That you're talking to. Preface everything. Converse everything.
Which absolutely comes into the consent thing that we're
reading situations. I would actually recommend not fucking your friends then. just in general.
We've had experience with it, and you know.
Some people are on the level, and some people are nowhere near, but they still have the questions, and they still want the know-hows. So we're not necessarily the first, you know, couple that maybe you should be with. Maybe you should, you know, go meet a lady or something, you know, or
which
know.
Is why we do the website.
In like
so
a situation,
too, right?
I also have a buddy who's always like, man, come on, let me come over to one of your like fuck parties, which is hilarious because he just doesn't
but
get the
concept
of it.
But he treats it as a derogatory thing,
I guess, to a certain degree. And then
absolutely.
I was just like, dude, you're gonna have to be comfortable being naked around guys. And he's like, no, I won't have that. I was like, well, then you know what?
Absolutely.
That's something that you need to go work on.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's interesting, poignant questions in those conversations where you can ask very direct and drilled questions and have a very direct and drilled answer. You know, like that.
I told him, I said, when you have three separate two-guy threesomes, then you can come call us.
He seems like he needs to work on a little bit of...
Right.
Self-confidence / self-love.
You know,
right.
And there are women, for example, who not only aren't into other women, but aren't comfortable around women who are into other women, right?
Yes.
So there's this awkward expectation where, I mean, you and I are bisexual, but we
yeah.
don't ever have an expectation of a woman entering the situation
yeah.
that, like, you know, we're going to be attracted to you. So there's this preface where you have to try and jump in and say, is it okay if I touch you?
Yes.
Or is it okay if I do this, you know?
Which always, it's communication.
Exactly.
Ladies,
so it depends
you
on
don't
how much
have
you
to go
it.
Down on another lady. You don't have to if you don't
absolutely.
Want to.
And circumstantially,
you don't.
Sometimes
yes.
we don't, right?
Yeah.
But it's an interesting, you know, and if you get that sense from someone where they have the information, but they don't necessarily understand it,
yeah.
then I would say use that as your arsenal to figure out whether or not they're a right fit for you in your relationship,
yes,
in your
absolutely.
Lifestyle, or in that
yes.
sexy party situation that you're trying to create.
Well, perfect. Well, thanks, guys. And really thank you guys for being on the show. You know, we really appreciate your guys' advice. Obviously, our listeners, if they have any questions for you, we'll probably pass them on to you guys. We'd like to thank you guys for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure. Now for the events that are upcoming for the local area for us and some international ones for Calgary. Obviously, Cap C, Club R, Moonlight Magic all have events Friday and Saturday nights. Share Lifestyle Club has an event on May 14th, and the theme is Spring Fling.
So for Edmonton... Oh, hi, Zig. How are you?
Yes, we have a house full
That's
of animals.
That's the pussy. So for Edmonton, Club Intimate Times, they have a party on May 14th called Victoria's Secret.
Does that Victoria have any secrets anymore?
I don't know. I usually find them.
For Vancouver, we'd love to go. Still haven't been, but Club Allure has a cowboy theme party on May 14th named Cowboy Take Me Away. And also Club Eden, which we'd also love to go to. So one time we'll head out to Vancouver. But they have an event on May 7th, which is their 10-year anniversary party with a Vegas theme for the evening. And that looks super fun. We'd love to go. It'll be busy.
10-year anniversary.
Good for you guys.
We won't be able to miss this weekend.
If you listen, Club Eden, way to go.
Yeah, good job, you guys. So Regina, I know that this is a little bit in advance, but Regina Lifestyle Parties, they have their next event is June 18th called Beach Babes and Cabana Boys Hot Tub Party. They just actually had one on April 23rd, and it looked like a good time, so good for them. Internationally, there is Dirty Vegas next weekend.
We wish we were going, but we know a lot of people from our hometown that are going, so have fun. If you're listening, take care, be safe.
Be bad, do not anything.
Be sexy.
And then Sin City 6 with Envision Events is happening June 1st to 5th, and we also know a few people going to that.
We've heard so it's epic, quite large.
Fun. Jealous.
Yeah, have fun.
And then July 23rd to 30th is Young Swingers Week at Hedonism 2.
Week 2.
And last but not least, I added a new one called Erotic Electric Circus, which is a 100% EDM lifestyle hotel takeover, which happens in Las Vegas, also put on by Envision Events, which looks so fucking amazing, which I think we're going to really try.
It's at Rumor again as well.
Rumor Resort.
Rumor seems to be the place to be. They have all the cabanas.
So I think we're going to really try and make that happen. And then next episode is something that James really wanted to do. It's something that we've been listening to or hearing a lot of, I guess, lately. And it's called Happy Wife, Happy Life.
I hate the saying.
Yeah.
I can't understand somebody that... We'll go into more detail. As you can tell, I'll just get heated. But the point of it is that we're all individuals. If you have to make someone else happy and you are unhappy by making someone else happy, doesn't both opinions matter?
Yes.
And I'm not saying I'm not pro-man. I'm just pro-relationship. I'm pro-us. I'm pro-equality.
Equality.
Oneness. Relationship equality and having... You know, not having to work so hard to impress one other person. And then, but when you get back in return, you're still your own individual. And anyways,
we're going to discuss that a little bit more because I think it also plays a big part in the lifestyle.
Well,
we've said many times that the lifestyle is also kind of a woman's game. So where does that fall in with that, right? Some people think that it's important for their wife to be happy at all times in the lifestyle. Others do not. So it's going to be a good discussion, I think. And maybe we can get an interview for it. Maybe not. We'll see. We love the interviews. They seem to attract a big crowd, so.
They are a lot of fun. We do like talking to a lot of people.
So, anyways, you guys, thank you so much again for listening.
Thank you for stopping by.
We're so happy to be able to do these for you and give you our little bit of knowledge that we have about the lifestyle. And hopefully you guys like it. We'd love to hear some feedback.
And feedback is always helpful. We'd love to, if you guys want a topic you want us to talk about, please give us some. Or if you have an example of a story that we can elaborate on, that'd be great too. But again, thanks for listening and hope
Listen
to see you guys
the outro,
soon.
And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye, sexy.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to Sue on the Air with Tara Rose and James. If you enjoyed this sexy show, you can find more at sexuninterrupted.com. Don't forget, you can also follow us on Twitter at @SXUninterrupted, Instagram at @sex.uninterrupted, and on Facebook. Media links are on the webpage for your convenience. Look out for the next show in 2 weeks' time. Until then, keep it sexy.